Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Fair Housing Act and Disparate Impact Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 10, 2012, Supreme Court case Magner v. Gallagher was dismissed by agreement of both parties involved. This case presented two questions. First, whether rental property owners in St. Paul, Minnesota could, under the Fair Housing Act, challenge the city's aggressive enforcement of its housing code on the theory that such enforcement constituted disparate impact race discrimination, and second, if so, how those disparate impact claims should be analyzed. To discuss the case, we have Roger Clegg, who is President and General Counsel at the Center for Equal Opportunity. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Clegg.
Hi, my name is Roger Clegg, and I'm President and General Counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity. And I'd like to talk today about a recent case that was about to be argued before the Supreme Court on February 29th, but at the last minute, the petition for cert was withdrawn. And it's a very interesting case. It's called Magner versus Gallagher. It came out of the Eighth Circuit. And what I'd like to do today is talk a little bit about the facts of the case, then briefly describe what happened to it, how it came not to be argued before the Supreme Court, and then talk about some of the issues that the case raises and why they are important, and then finally conclude with where we go from here on this case. Basically, the case involved whether a disparate impact cause of action can be brought under the Fair Housing Act. The Fair Housing Act is an act that was originally passed back in the 1960s. It makes it illegal to discriminate on the basis of race and other qualities in housing. The respondents, that is the plaintiffs in this case, were owners of rental properties who argue that the petitioners, which was the city of St. Paul, were violating the Fair Housing Act. What the city of St. Paul was doing was aggressively enforcing its housing code. According to respondents, because a disproportionate number of renters are African American and the respondents rent to many African Americans, requiring them to meet the housing code provisions that the city of St. Paul was so aggressively enforcing would increase their costs and decrease the number of units that would be made available to rent to African Americans. The district court granted summary judgment for the petitioners. The Eighth Circuit held that the respondents should be allowed to proceed to trial, and a cert petition was then filed with the Supreme Court. The main issue that was before the court, as I said, was whether disparate impact claims can be brought under the Fair Housing Act. Now, what's interesting, as I said, or one thing that's interesting about this case, is that after the petition was granted and briefing was completed, at the 11th hour, the city of St. Paul decided to withdraw its cert petition. The reason that it did this was because it's a fairly liberal city, and various civil rights groups and also the Obama administration leaned on the city and persuaded them that this would not be a good case for them to present to the Supreme Court. The reason for that is because the disparate impact cause of action has been recognized by most of the courts of appeals, and indeed by all the courts of appeals that have decided the issue. And so from the perspective of the civil rights groups, they had really very little to gain by having this issue successfully resolved in the Supreme Court, and a great deal to lose if the Supreme Court decided that there was no such thing as a disparate impact cause of action under the Fair Housing Act. So they persuaded the city of St. Paul to withdraw its cert petition. It's interesting to think about whether this is really an unseemly thing that the civil rights groups and the Obama administration succeeded in getting here. It does smack somewhat of manipulating the court's docket. At the same time that this is going on, the Obama administration, by the way, is also trying to keep a Voting Rights Act case from getting to the Supreme Court, one that would tee up the issue of whether Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act is constitutional or not. This is out of the city of Kinston, North Carolina, and the Obama administration has decided to withdraw its Section 5 objection in that case, again, with an idea of keeping the case from the Supreme Court. It also harkens back to a case some of you may remember about a decade ago where this came out of Piscataway, New Jersey, and the issue there was whether Title VII of the Civil Rights Act involving employment discrimination could allow a diversity exception to discrimination against whites. That case also was fully briefed and ready to go before the Supreme Court, and it was settled at the last minute, too. So anyway, it's not unusual for the left to be trying to keep the Supreme Court from resolving whether actions that it would like to take are illegal or not. I should also mention that the Obama administration, after the Supreme Court granted cert, issued regulations adopting the disparate impact approach. That also seems to me to be somewhat odd, particularly since they then argued that the court should defer to the fact that these regulations were in place. Again, the regulations didn't go into place until after the Supreme Court had granted cert. Well, that's kind of the background of the case. Let me talk a little bit about the issue of disparate impact and whether it's covered by the Fair Housing Act. A disparate impact cause of action is one that relies on statistical disparities and an argument that an action that is neutral by its terms and neutral in terms of its intent and neutral in terms of its application can nonetheless be considered discriminatory if it has a disproportionate effect on this or that racial group or some other group. It's a very controversial approach. It's an approach that the left likes in all kinds of contexts. What it does, besides, of course, making it easier to win these cases, it also pushes people to make sure that a disparate impact on the basis of race doesn't happen. And the way you can do that is by adopting surreptitious quotas. The other thing it does is push employers and landlords and others not to use perfectly legitimate criteria, if they happen to have a disproportionate racial impact. And that can lead to problems with throwing out perfectly productive and sound selection devices because of a racial disparity. The text of the Fair Housing Act really has no support for a disparate impact cause of action. Neither does its legislative history. In fact, the signing statement by President Reagan when he signed the relevant provisions of the Fair Housing Act explicitly said that intent was required in order for there to be a violation. And the Justice Department in the Reagan administration also took that position before the Supreme Court. One thing that's an additional problem in this particular area is that it's widely believed that a desire to meet racial and ethnic quotas in the housing context helped contribute to the mortgage meltdown. The disparate impact approach encourages race-based decision-making, which is flatly at odds with the colorblind ideals of the civil rights movement and the laws for which it fought. Not only is this approach bad policy, but it would raise constitutional problems. And it would be astonishing to interpret a national civil rights statute in a way that makes identical conduct in one city illegal, even as it allows exactly the same conduct in another city just because of the different racial makeup of the two cities. Again, this is an issue that arises not only in the fair housing context, but we see the left pushing the disparate impact approach in all kinds of other areas, like, for instance, voting rights and employment, where unfortunately it is part of the statutes, unlike the fair housing area. It's also pushed, though, in areas like school discipline, for instance, or environmental law, where there is no basis in the statute. I should mention just two other things before I close. One is that the arguments for why the Fair Housing Act does not allow a disparate impact cause of action are set out, I think, very well in an amicus brief that was filed by the Pacific Legal Foundation and which should be up soon on its website. My organization, the Center for Equal Opportunity, joined and helped write that brief, as did the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the Cato Institute. The other thing that I want to leave you with is that this is an issue that is now nicely teed up for some other organization, some other entity to challenge the use of a disparate impact cause of action under the Fair Housing Act. The Supreme Court has recognized this is an important issue that is worthy of review, and I hope that bank or a landlord or somebody who finds themselves at the receiving end of a disparate impact cause of action will challenge that cause of action, and one hopes that before too long the Supreme Court will have another opportunity to resolve this issue. Thank you very much. Again, my name is Roger Clegg. I'm at the Center for Equal Opportunity, and I'd be delighted to respond to emails or phone calls if people have questions about this issue. Our website is ceousa.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.